thanks. Yeah, so I know a few of you might be asking yourself, who is this guy with the funny accent? First bit of disclosure is I'm actually not a farmer, so I've got a lot of respect for what I was listening to today. Actually an engineer by background. And I am the relatively new CEO of Safer Farms. And why am I standing in front of you today? Bit of a passion project, I guess, safety for me. My career, I'm actually an engineer, as I possibly said. I've been in the hot seat, you know, in big industries. You know, I've been in construction, mining, and lately over at Ravensdown, where I spent 5 years as the GM of operations there. So responsible for, you know, sulfuric acid, fertilizer manufacturing, limestone quarrying, those sorts of things. And I've been through the mining industry when we had Pike River and all those kinds of things. And I guess, you know, I've learned a lot about safety over the years, made a few mistakes, had a few horrific things I've had to deal with. Thankfully, not a fatality on my watch. But when I left Ravensdown, I heard that Safer Farms had lost its chief executive, and at the time I just reached out and said, hey, do you want a little bit of a hand? They said, well, yes, actually. And I thought, okay, I can give you a hand. And we were just starting to roll out a little bit of a campaign. I've been really sucked in. It's a fantastic organization. It's come from, you know, I guess being really a bit of a members-based organization where quite a lot of work was done between members, to a little bit more of a different twist to safety, looking at it as a sector. And so if you don't know who Safer Farms is, I mean, we're the industry sector organization that's really been dedicated to leading and inspiring safer farming, right? What can we do to improve safety on farm? If you don't know, our board is a little bit of a who's who in agriculture. We've got Lindy Nelson. A few of you might know her through AgriWounds Development Trust. She's our chair. Sarah Perriam-Lamp, you know, she owns Countrywide Media now. A lot of you have heard her on podcasts, seen her on TV and on the radio. Colin Glass, well, of course, with Dairy Holdings. We just heard from Dairy Holdings. Mark Leslie, CEO of PAMU. And recently appointed to the board, David Chin from LIC and Stephen Gern from PGG. So, you know, we've got some heavy hitters there, all of whom have been through their own safety journey as well. Just by quickly, I'm always interested when I talk to a group of people, just by way, a show of hands, who's either had a fairly serious accident on their farm or know of one through connections? Yeah, handful of you. It's true, pretty much when you talk to people, and even people outside of the farming industry, you do hear, you know, my father was involved in something, you know, years ago, or my uncle or something like that. I think we all know the numbers, right? We've heard some numbers today. I mean, the numbers do paint a picture. We're still getting somewhere between 14 to 20 deaths a year in farming. And more than 60 of us get injured every week, actually. And the problem is, although we see a lot of improving trends in agriculture in terms of greenhouse gas and nitrogen leaching and all the rest of that, this one's been stubborn. We haven't seen really any improvement in harm and safety outcomes in agriculture over the last number of years. And when you normalize it against other industries, you know, unfortunately, agriculture is one of the worst performing sectors when you compare it to the other sectors. Probably the only ones worse than us are forestry and fishing. I mean, it goes up and down a bit every year. And you look at forestry, for example, they've actually had some big improvements. They're still not there yet, but you are seeing some improvements. And that, of course, doesn't include, you know, the suicides and the poor mental health aspects of things, which we all know is kind of on the up. We've heard a bit about dollars and cents today, and I thought I might just put, I know farmers like to translate things into a dollar, but the cost of this, I don't know if you know, but ACC actually pays out $100 million every year in harm payments in agriculture. That's every single year. And where does that money actually come from? It comes from you, you know, through your levies that you pay. And of course, that doesn't include the other costs, you know, when you've got somebody off work or somebody that leaves the industry and you've got to retrain them, bringing people in, induction costs, those sorts of things. So I think the case for doing something is probably fairly obvious, so I won't dwell on that. Safer Farms is here to try and work with you on how we might make an improvement there. I guess it's quite interesting when you look at people's attitudes to safety in the farming industry, because I've been involved with Ravensdown over the years, you know, sat down over a cup of tea or a steak in the tent with perhaps a number of you, you know, you do get a range of attitudes, right? I mean, there's some fantastic people, and I'm probably preaching to the crowd here. If you're out here listening to what has to be said on CITIC, I have no doubt that most of you are on the leading edge. But we do know that there's some people in our community that probably still have a few of those old, outdated attitudes, like, you know, our safety policy is just don't be stupid. I have heard that a few times, right? Or farming's just a risky business, you know, we just have to take it. Or it's, you know, not my farm, it's the guy over there, it's his problem, right? Or nothing's ever happened here, so we're okay. And I guess the problem with those sorts of attitudes is you might play the odds for a period of time, right? And that does happen. You might tolerate some poor practices and not investing or, you know, in safety and not really addressing issues, and you might run the odds. But then when the accident does actually happen, what's the regret cost of that, right? And that's a challenge. So it does take a desire to change. Thankfully, I think the majority of people really want to do something about it. So what are we doing about it? Well, Safer Farms, about 2 years, 18 months ago, pulled the industry together to develop a new strategy and look at this as a whole of sector solution, right? And some of you out here may well have been involved. Has anybody got involved in some of the work around the Farm Without Harm strategy? Is anybody that was involved? Because we did have a couple of sessions out at Lincoln, I understand, before my time. And I think when you look at the strategy, it's actually quite a good and smart strategy. What is it about? It's about reframing health and safety, right? Which probably does have a bit of a bad rap and some bad press. The strategy is not a push-out strategy. You know, it's not about telling you what to do. It's actually a pull-in strategy. You know, this is about working together to solve the problems. We acknowledge that we're not going to be able to solve all these problems by just wagging our finger at everybody. The good thing about it, too, was the strategy was widely consulted, so it had a chance for everybody across the sector to really input into it. And so for those of you that did participate, thank you. I think it's a bloody good roadmap. So Safer Farms is responsible for, or we call it the kaitiaki of the strategy. We're not going to implement it. We're going to work with you and everybody else in the industry to implement it, right? That's what we're about. So the first thing we did was we asked farmers and people in the sector to make a pledge. And you might have seen it. We had a session out here, thanks to Dairy Holdings for hosting. And we had one up in the North Island, a bit of a public pledge signing. And the pledge really demonstrated that the sector was willing to step up. We asked people really to draw a line in the sand and say, what we were doing before isn't good enough, and we're going to work together to try to improve things, right? And we got probably around 150 businesses or individuals signing to the pledge. So for those of you out there that did sign it, thank you very much. It has been noticed and it's helping. You know, we see it through ACC is really noticing, for example, that, you know, we've been able to engage with all corners of the industry, which is fantastic. The next thing we followed up with was a bit of a provocative campaign. Who's seen the Half Hour Stops Here campaign? Few of you, have you? What do you think of it? Not without a bit of controversy, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I have to say, the first time I saw it, I thought, ooh, is this going to go over well? You know, are we actually throwing cold water on the people that are actually doing a really good job? Because that wasn't the intention. It wasn't really to say, hey, we've been a bit shit. No. It was really about drawing a line in the sand and saying, in some cases, yes, that was the case. We need to change what we're doing. But also, it's a bit of a point of pride that actually, where it is working, we're not half-arsed. And as we see the conversations going, it's more about, you know, not pointing the finger at what's half-arsed, but what is it that are good calls, you know? And that's where the conversations are starting to go. And this is all about, it's meant to be from a farmer's voice, and it really has resonated with people who are saying, you know, this gives me a little bit of a voice. And it's not just on farm. We've seen people hanging up the posters now as a point of pride in their workplace to kind of say, hey, this is about who we are. And it uses language that a lot of people, you know, are maybe a little bit familiar with. So I think it's the start of a journey. It's opened up conversations. It can be used as a point of pride. It can be used to maybe call out something that you're a little bit nervous about or don't like. It's been something that has gotten out there, which I think has been fantastic, right? We've managed to reach, you know, over a million people through that campaign, actually, and start getting people engaged. Now, what I want to talk to you about, though, is what's the strategy actually entail? And I put a few little bits and pieces in the handout there that explains what the Farm Without Harm strategy actually entails. It's actually in two parts. The first part we call the system enablers, right? And that's really about the people. You know, how do we engage with people? How do we look to get involvement? How do we perhaps change the minds of some people who are maybe have a negative mindset? How do we perhaps raise the game, improve what good looks like, improve our capability and safety? And so those are things that we'll work on together as a system across a range of areas in all corners of agriculture, right? The other part of the strategy is focusing on four high harm areas. And these come right out of the data. And I think we inherently know what is really harming us, right? And frankly, I think everyone knows the number one is vehicles, right? Whether it's quad bikes or equipment, machinery, the data speaks for itself in terms of death and harm. The next one is an interesting one, psychosocial harm. That's kind of the harm caused by poor well-being. Now, you can get poor well-being as you know, an outcome of harm, but the thing that the data shows us is actually often poor well-being or psychosocial harm is actually the root cause of other kinds of harm. You know, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're stressed out, you might make a bad decision, and it might lead to some other kind of harm. The other ones on our list are those more insidious things, using chemicals and dust, long-term exposures, the kinds of things that might not manifest themselves until kind of the end of your career with some kind of health impact. And last but not least is the issue of ergonomics, and tied in with that is human or animal handling, you know, and so the two together often go hand in hand, people getting hurt by animals or, you know, the strains and the things that we often know. So I guess you've heard the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result, right? So that's what the strategy is really about, is what are the things that we're going to have to do differently to make a step change in harm, in the harm outcomes for these areas. So what I wanted to do is really just talk a little bit about some of the things that we're doing now. This is really the early part of the implementation of the Farm Without Harm strategy, right? Year one. So a couple things we're doing. One is up our game workshops. So that's really just an opportunity to dial in at lunchtime to a Zoom call and listen to farmers talk about their journey and what they've learned. And we sometimes bring in a few experts to talk about relevant topics. We've done three so far, and there's another one coming up. First one we did was around children on harm on farm, and that was on the back of a Stuff article that we saw that showed that, you know, children are disproportionately represented on in the harm data in agriculture. So I thought, well, let's find out what we know about it. And we did that one first. Next one we did was, well, I want to get started on my safety journey. And we heard from a couple of farmers about where they had been going with their safety journey. And it was just an open conversation. The next one we did was around how to have a good safety conversation. You know, what is a safety conversation? Why have them? What do they look like? Why would we do them? What are some of the barriers to having a good conversation? And that was part one. And the next one that we're doing is actually part two. So it's quite a good topic, safety conversations. So They're only 45 minutes lunchtime. And if you miss them, we put them on the website. You can listen to them. And the thing that we've always been doing is trying to download a few resources to you on the back of those conversations. So we've had a few things on that. Speaking of that, that's another thing that we're doing. And I've got to acknowledge there's been a lot of good work been done in agriculture already, right? And so resources are something that are out there. And so people like Dairy NZ, fantastic resource on safety, right? And so we're trying to bring a bit of that together, improve it over time. So make sure that you've got good resources if you want to access anything. One thing I picked out of other industries and I thought would be good to share in the agriculture is this idea of safety alerts, right? Now I know places like Dairy Holdings and probably PAMU, when they have an incident, often the culture in Ravensdown is the same thing. You know, we write up a safety alert and we share it amongst ourselves. You know, what are the learnings from this? What can we do next time to avoid something like that? The problem is that only benefits those people that are doing them and within those own industries, right? So what we want to do is create an opportunity to share safety alerts amongst ourselves across the entire industry. So I've popped a couple in the handout there that you can use. These ones have come, and I won't say who's given them to us, but we are looking to get them from across the industry, not just from one or two companies. So we're looking for people that have had learnings to share them with us, and we'll make them available. What do you do with those things? They just make a great safety conversation. Talk about them at Smoko. Could this happen on our farm? You know, what have we got in place to avoid this kind of thing? The other thing we want to do is not just focus on the negative. We want to get examples of good calls, good ideas around safety, and let's share those sorts of things, right? So we're doing that. Other things we're doing is an agri think tank. This is where we'll take some of those really hard, nutty problems and do a real deep dive into them. And the first one we decided to pick on was psychosocial safety, right? Again, big word, what does it mean? And we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. What we're talking about is acknowledging that there's a lot of good stuff out there around well-being. You know, Farm Strong, Rural Support Trust, a lot of other people doing a lot of good work. What we're trying to do is really get back further in the area. What is the root cause? What causes some of these stresses on farm that leads to psychosocial safety problems? You know, is it financial? Is it time pressures? Is it, you know, employee well-beings, farm dynamics, all those sorts of things? And look at what can we do around some of those root causes. Idea is get a research done on what do we know to date, do a little bit of survey to find out what's the pulse of people thinking. And then we're going to have sessions that are coming up in the third week of November, one here in the South Island, one in the North Island, where we'll just get together and talk about it and think about what is it that we can put in place. And we've had a few farms that have said, hey, if there's a new thing that we can try in this, we'll be a trial farm, you know, which is fantastic. Put their hands up. And then other thing is getting a few working parties getting together on some of those harm areas, like, say, vehicles. What do we know? What are some of the things that we can do? So a few working parties. Message is, though, we're not doing this alone. We're about the conductor. Where is all this work going to come from? It needs to come from us, from the wider industry, right? So I would very much encourage you to get involved in this movement of change, because it won't happen unless we all work on this together. So I'll leave you with a couple of ideas on what can you do. I guess, of course, the first thing I should ask you to do is maybe take a look at your own operation, right? Look at what you're doing. Take a look at your farm. Be curious. Be challenging. Do you know what your real big risks are? Do you know what to do about those big risks? In your heart of heart, are you possibly a little too tolerant of poor practice or bad behaviors? Are you having those conversations that should matter? Do you know the things that you need to put in place to make sure everybody's on safe on your farm every single day? And even if you can answer all those positive questions, another question is there something that you know that might help others out there, your neighbor, somebody else? Are you sharing that information with us? The next thing is get involved with us. So I've put a couple of there's a couple of websites you can go onto, but I'll put a couple of QR codes there. So if you just scan them with your phone, you can get right onto there. You know, so I'd look to that. You know, sign up to our newsletter, become a member if you'd like to. Take the pledge, not too late. You know, we make those people that are pledging public. And share the campaign message. A number of the businesses like Ravensdown are using the Half Hour Stops Here campaign and, you know, making it their own, which I really do appreciate. And all the other members are doing the same kind of things. Get the word out. But, of course, we need to be where farmers are, right? And we can't be everywhere. So if you've got answers, please share them with us. But what we really need are leaders, people who can lead by example and who can do what I'm doing today at other farming events, talk about safety. And I really appreciate it, Jeremy, for bringing this up. You know, I think it's a great opportunity every time we get together is maybe have a chat about farming or safety, right? Share those stories. But it really is about visible leadership, and that's going to make a difference. So I'll leave you with, I really would like to work with every one of you and everybody else out there on this. And I hope you will join us. If you want any more information, I'll be around for the rest of the day and we can have a little bit of a chat. But hopefully what I've given you in your pack is good enough to get started if you haven't already. So thank you very much, Jeremy, and thank you. Any questions or comments anybody's got on it? I'm always interested in a chat.
Right. Look, in the interest of time, we will box on Stephen, but here's a token of appreciation.
Thank you.
From CITIC. So if you can please thank Stephen for me.
Thank you.